From New York, Columbia brings you Eric Rigger, chief editor of the Berlin newspaper Der Tagesspiegel. Mr. Rigger is the first German journalist to come to the United States since before World War II. He covered the recent Council of the Foreign Ministers in London for the German press and radio. Tonight, Mr. Rigger gives his impressions of an American presidential election year as compared with some European practices and outlines the story he will take back to Germany. Mr. Rigger.
It is a peculiar distinction that I have been invited to this second broadcast for CBS. I do not wish to take it as a personal distinction. Just because I am the first German editor to come to this country after the war. I honor it as a general desire for a better understanding between two peoples and as an attempt to gather all those who may be able to contribute to that understanding. This year is packed with difficulties all over the world. In Germany, as well as from all Europe, I often heard the question whether the United States would be capable of political action since this is a presidential election year. By reports and news coming from America, I got the impression that in our time, imminent presidential elections, as far as their influence on political activities is concerned, do no longer matter as much as they used to do. But, as I was lacking in a real proof, I tried to find out when I came over here. First of all, I became aware of the unique position of the President of the United States. There is no comparison with European conditions. In most European countries, the president normally remains in the background of the political scene. He only figures as the top representative of his country. He puts his signature on the laws decided upon by parliament. In most cases, he even cannot veto, and surely he cannot send a presidential draft of a bill to Parliament. In other words, he is not at all a policy maker. I need not mention here how different from that is the position of the President of the United States. It could be imagined, of course, that a president of that type would get somewhat reluctant in his policy when he is looking forward to the elections and involved in the election campaign, either personally or as a prominent member of his party. As there are only two parties in the United States which really count, the election campaign is much harder than usually in Europe, where always has to be some compromising between several parties in order to get two or three hopeful candidates. One step which was made by the President of the United States might, in case it turns out to be wrong, have a serious influence on the chance even of another candidate of his party. In European countries, this is out of consideration. There, a president can do no harm to the prestige of his party because he is not within the legislative body. Since a new president in European republics is elected directly, either by the people or by parliament in joint session, the election campaign runs only for a short period, or there's none at all. In the United States, I think, it runs nearly for 8 months. The nomination of a party candidate is already an election in itself. Competitors have to travel throughout the different states. They have to obtain the favor of their own party groups. Just now, the campaign is increasing. I have tried to watch it. it would be of no use to deny that, to a European mind, it looks strange. I give you my simple and certainly imperfect reactions. Coming from a poor country, and not only Germany, but also the greater deal of Europe has been impoverished by Hitler, although there has never been such an enormous wealth as is found in this country. I first thought of the high expenses caused by a prolonged and intense campaign. Either, so I thought, these presumptive candidates must be very rich people by themselves, or somebody must spend the money for them. Both things do not seem to be desirable. On the other hand, I believe that this very close examination which the presumptive candidates have to undergo is a fine show of democracy, corresponding to the idea of a careful selection. When this system was agreed upon, of course, nobody could foresee the tremendous dimension which everything is getting in our time. I always wondered why no European country ever has adapted its constitution to the constitution of the United States. Sometimes they accepted a detail of the pattern, but even then they changed it somehow. Perhaps it is true that a constitution as well as an election system ought to originate in the history of the country. It ought to develop from actual events and according to the experiences made in critical times. That is why we in Germany never succeeded in setting up a constitution which the whole people is ready to defend. We always started from a theoretical point. There were some mistakes in the constitution of our Weimar Republic between 1919 and 1933. As a whole, it was not bad. But it never worked. It was not able to work because some professors and politicians sat together and looked around what good they could find in constitutions abroad and what they might add from their own ideas. There was too little consideration of practical life, and there was too little connection with the people. Therefore, I think, whatever may appear questionable today, the mere fact that the American way is still leading to a satisfactory result proves its safety. And if no longer it should do so, I am convinced that the American people and its representatives in Congress would try to correct it. Anyhow, the election campaign of this year in the United States seems to be different from those in previous years, except during the war. As to home affairs, the programs vary. But as to foreign affairs, there's not much difference. I have read of proposals which go beyond the present policy of the government. But I cannot remember to have seen proposals entirely adverse to the policy of the government. Finally, in this campaign, matters of foreign policy are far ahead of home matters. This is very significant, and so far, European apprehensions seem to be unfounded. Maybe that some drives in Congress are influenced by election considerations. But again, the American Constitution is based on the principles of steadiness and of balance of power. Everybody knows that whoever will be next president, Congress will survive. During these weeks, I have seen a democracy in action. I have got the feeling that the American people is backing the foreign policy of the government. There is the European Recovery Program, which is through. There is the defense bill, which most certainly will get through. I have learned to realize what that means regarding a people which I would like to call passionate civilians. And I am proud of having had the opportunity of living at least a few weeks among the American people, which I found so peace-loving in its heart. I know that it is not afraid of war if forced upon it, but it deeply rejects, as I see it, warfare as a way of life. Its idea of human being seems to be based on the thought that man is not on earth just in order to manage to live and to brave sufferings of all kinds, but to enjoy life and to have some pleasure in it, with dark days as an exception. This is one of the strongest impressions which I have got during my stay in the United States. My task to explain that to my countrymen will not be an easy one. They may answer that they cannot enjoy a life which is misery. Indeed, it is. Yet, as they have yielded to the false doctrine of Hitler that hardships make the sense of life, they must now make up their minds to a brighter aspect for their children. As a matter of fact, the present misery is all due to Hitler. But the reality of this misery is so dreadful that it becomes useless to insist on the origin of this disaster. The European recovery program will at least help Western Germany in the work of reconstruction, which is necessary in order that people can look forward. I know that amongst the youth there are still many in the grip of Nazi doctrines, but even they are not lost forever. Their gossip, "It was better with Hitler," will disappear if only we do not try to persuade them that it is already better now, but to do reconstruction work in a way which shows them that finally it will be better. I know others, such as joined the parties or such as stand aside, who will be able to form the element of a democratic life. Our greatest hope are the children. They know little or nothing of Hitler. They grow up amidst ruins. They have never seen better conditions. However slowly improvements will come, these children will appreciate them. Once 20 years old, they will decide upon whether or not we can get democracy in Germany. And their decision will be the judgment on us, whether or not we succeeded in preparing democracy. We, that is the older generation to which I belong. I shall leave the United States more equal to my task than I was before.
From New York City, Columbia has brought you Eric Reger, chief editor of the Berlin newspaper, Der Tagesspiegel. Mr. Reger is the first German journalist to visit this country since before World War II, and tonight you heard him give his impressions of a presidential election year in the United States and outline the story that he'll take back to Germany. This is one of many programs brought to you regularly by Columbia to keep you informed on matters of general interest. Each week, Monday through Friday, Columbia brings you many programs devoted to a discussion of current problems of interest to the people of this country. For example, there is In My Opinion, in which many of the world's leading personalities express their views on important issues of the day.
The preceding program was transcribed. This is CBS, where 99 million people gather every week, the Columbia Broadcasting System.